Off the Ball Rugby.
I had him in my original, if you remember, Colin. I had him as my starting 10 for the tour.
Yeah, but you were also in a stadium and that's changed. So, like, what do you think now?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
You're welcome along to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Cameron Hill. Now, coming up for you today, the reaction from the Lions camp after a 24-19 win over the First Nations and Pacifica 15 in Melbourne earlier. Brian O'Driscoll and James Tracy on whether the Wallabies can catch the Lions napping in Saturday's second test. And big transfer news for a World Cup winning Springbok. First up today, the Lions faced their sternest challenge so far in this year's tour of Australia, getting over the line against the First Nations and Pacifica 15 in Melbourne. Jamie Osborne made his debut as starting 13 and scored two tries in a 24-19 win for the tourists. Thomas Clarkson came off the bench to make his Lions debut, while Gary Ringrose was called upon midway through the first half to replace the injured Darcy Graham. The Leinster centre missed the first test against Australia last Saturday due to a failed HIA. Graham and fellow Scotland wing Duhan van der Merwe also crossed the whitewash today. Speaking to Sky Sports after the game, head coach Andy Farrell remained tight-lipped on whether any players from today's game made the case to be named in the side for this Saturday's test against the Wallabies.
There were some great performances by some individuals. I thought Ben White was very good. Jamie obviously, and some lads coming in playing the first game for us as well, so delighted for all of them. There's always food for thought. We do what we always do, we review this game and have a meeting tomorrow and select the side tomorrow evening.
Owen Farrell captained the side for today's game. He feels the Lions made life difficult for themselves.
Well, it'd be a number of things. It'd never be one thing. It felt a bit frantic at times. If we could have been a bit calmer at times, I felt like we could have settled into what we do and do that a bit better, but we didn't do that, and we spoke at half time and regrouped a little bit and managed to be a bit more direct at the start of that second half and get a bit more territory and so on, but they found their way back into the game again.
Now, Farrell Senior will name his team on Thursday for the second test, with doubts over the availability of Joe McCarthy and Mac Hansen. The Ireland duo both sat out training on Monday as they deal with respective foot injuries. The Lions can claim the series with a win over the Wallabies at the MCG at the weekend, but James Tracy feels that the Australian performance in the first test was a far cry from what he would expect from a Joe Schmidt-coached side. Former Leinster and Ireland hooker joined Ger Gilroy and Adrian Barry on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast.
I'd be shocked if they haven't at least taken learnings from being in the camp with Joe and how detailed he is. But I suppose if they come out this weekend and they get hammered, you would then question what sort of buy-in that they have to, because I know from experience how prepped you are going into games under Joe Schmidt, and regardless if you like how he's, you know, from a fan's point of view, how he approaches games or his team selections, etc. As a player, you are the most prepared you will ever be for any training session or game under him, and you know, that's his system. Is it's a script, and you know, you follow the script, you know, you most likely win the game. They didn't. The Australians did not look like they were a Joe Schmidt coached side on the weekend in terms of the moments that they missed, and where it's body language, it's traits, it's stuff that you could have learned from video, and they just seem to miss moments, and that's very uncharacteristic of a Joe Schmidt side. So I'm hoping that that's not going to repeat itself again, and it's going to be a way more competitive game this weekend. But if they get hammered out the gate, I would be massively looking at that. This player group just haven't really bought into his system, his way of playing and coaching.
Do you see it going 1-1?
Do I see it going 1-1? No, I don't. I think everything about me on the weekend coming into the game wanted Australia to even win the game, weirdly, and I think you touched on that as well, just to really set it alight this tour. But I kind of had a deep feeling knowing that the Lions were going to be, their pack was going to be too good, and that halfback pairing, as I said, never. And I'm excluding how good the centers were amazing. I think the back three probably out of everyone had the maybe the weakest game, but they've such a good side, and I just felt like they were going to be too much for Australia, even though Australia had improved. I still think that this weekend, I think a lot was confirmed in that first half to all the doubts that I had about Australia, and I'd hope from knowing Joe that he maybe could turn this team around. But I think through the injuries and a few of the players that they were missing, and a lot of the players that played had a bit of an off day. I just can't see them beating this Lions team.
And don't forget, you can catch Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or in glorious Technicolor over on our YouTube channel.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast,
we had this.
One thing I'll say about Liam Cahill is that as a motivator, you're not going to get any better. When Liam delivers a speech in the dressing room before, no matter where you are, we were from Waterford and he had us ready to go. So I can only imagine what he's like managing his own before an All-Ireland final.
And we also had this.
How exciting would this be if we were playing South Africa?
Yeah.
The whole world would be watching going, this is incredible. Look at Razzie, look at what he's done. Listen to the shit he's saying. And we would actually be enjoying it all. This is all like, all right, see you in 12 years, lads.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.
On the Wallabies front then, head coach Joe Schmidt has been boosted by the return of Rob Valentini and Will Skelton this week. Valentini has overcome a calf injury and is in contention to start the second test in his hometown. Skelton has recovered from a calf issue of his own and would also add some much-needed heft to the Australian pack. Prop James Slipper says the squad took some encouragement from the 8-point defeat in the first test in Brisbane.
There's a feeling of belief in the group that, you know, we were able to fight back into that game after being, you know, a fair stack down at the start of the game. That first half, we put ourselves under a lot of pressure. So we've taken a lot of confidence and belief from what we can do. You know, it's already been touched on. It's obviously game two. It's another test match. We know what's coming, and it's about nailing our preparation now.
And Brian O'Driscoll has warned that there's every chance that the Wallabies can stun the Lions if the touring side show any signs of complacency this weekend. The 2013 Lions captain joined Owen Shahan earlier today.
That's sport. That is sport. And I've been stung enough times over the course of my career and seen it enough in the last 10 years as a pundit to when you least expect it, it comes back to bite you. And any form of complacency or the subconscious switching off or thinking about, you know, what might be as a Lions series winner 2-0 and all of those things, human nature will, you'll fight it as much as you can. But that's going on in the back of some people's heads, I'm sure, where they were so significantly better than Australia. And they will probably say, well, we only played for a half. So if we managed to play for two halves, we should pull these apart. And it should have been 40 points.
Yeah.
Should have scored 40 at the weekend. Think about those, the McCarthy crossfield kick, the Hugh Jones missed opportunity. You know, that's at least 12 points. And the catalyst that creates for confidence and belief and pass the stick and you play with freedom and heads drop. So it works both ways. Hype, confidence, you know, drop your head. And that's why you get these big score lines, even at test match rugby these days. So I'm kind of looking at it going, what mentality will the Lions have? Will they have that cutthroat nature? Will they keep their foot on the throat when it's necessitated? Because Australia have nothing after this game. There's, you know, a consolation of a test match win in a last series is nothing. Ask the players that were involved in South Africa in 2009. When the series is over in two, it's over, and so you're kind of just playing it out. So they will come with huge intent, and whether they have enough belief installed in them throughout the week, and whether there's changes or not, which you would anticipate, will that be the difference between bridging that 8-point gap, because as I mentioned already, it felt like it should have been 20 points. And I just think that the Lions, irrespective of their selections and who's available to them, just should have too much. Where they're creating quicker ruck ball, they're making a mess of the ruck for Australia. They certainly did that in the first half, and Australia got hardly any front football, and any defensive system in the world that's anyway organised with 3.5, 4 second rucks will be able to stagnate.
We'll round out today's episode with the news that the URC side, the Stormers, will be without Manny Libbok for the upcoming season. The 2023 World Cup winning Springbok has completed a move to Japanese club the Hanazono Kintetsu Liners. The Stormers had flagged last month that Libbok would be one of a number of players leaving the franchise this off-season. So Libbok comes in as a direct replacement for ex-Wallabies out-half Quade Cooper following the latter's retirement. Now, he only managed 9 appearances for the Stormers last term, with talented youngster Sasha Feinberg Mgamazulu preferred as the starting 10. Libbok helped the South African franchise to a URC title in 2022. He joins the likes of fellow South African internationals Kirtley Aranza and Cheslin Colby in making moves to Japan in recent years. That's about all for today's Rugby Daily. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your fix so you don't miss an episode Monday to Friday. I'm Cameron Hill, and we'll be back with more Rugby Daily later in the week.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.